This morning, we'll discuss Parshas Beshalach, which we read the Shabbos, of course, Shabbos Shira, the great moment of Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea, that capped Yetzias Mitzrayim and eliminated forever the specter of Egypt the invincible. Moshe told them at God's promise that you won't have to deal with Egypt anymore. So it's followed by the sublime Shira, Oz Yosher Moshe Vnei Yisrael Sashira Zos Lemor Oz Shira Lashem Ki Go Go Sus Verocha Rama Vayom. Moshe sang this song, Shira Lashem, I'll sing to God Ki Go Go, because He's exceedingly great, greater than the powerful. Sus Verocha Rama Vayom, the horse and its rider He drowned in the sea. So we'll discuss, we'll get back to what the nature of the song is, what the essence of the song, but I want to take up a different area today, which is at the very end of the Shira. Begins Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Chaf. Right after Moshe finished, the Torah records for us, Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyo Achos Aaron Asatof Biyado. Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the drum in her hand, and all the women went out after her with drums and micholos. Micholos, one is a pshat, michol is a tambourine, but the simple pshat of michol is a dance circle. They went out dancing, drums. Vatan lohem Miriam, and Miriam answered them, Shir Lashem ki go go sus v'rochvo rama v'yom. Sing to God, for He is exceedingly great. The horse and its rider He drowned, He threw into the sea. The question I want to discuss today is, what exactly did Miriam do? And what did she add to the festivities? What did she bring to the table, really? One thing you say is that the men and the women didn't sing together. They sang separately. Separation of the sexes. I had this fellow, when I was a rabbi in Queens, he was a bit of a kochleffel. He wasn't a member of my shul, he was actually a member of the conservative temple. But he would come to my shiurim on Shabbos. And he once said to me, you see from the davening that men and women can sit together. Because it says Bachurim v'gam besulos, zkenim imnarim. Everybody's together, the young men, the young women, the old and the young. So I said to him, you have to read the pasuk more carefully. It says Bachurim v'gam besulos, young men and also young women, but zkenim imnarim, the old together with the young, the old and the young are together. But the men and the women, that just also, they're separate, but in a different part. But you see, Miriam sang separately. A number of things are strange about these two psukim. First of all, why it's necessary. Secondly, why is she called here Miriam Hanaviyah? Miriam the prophetess. Why is she called Achos Aaron, the sister of Aaron, and not the sister of Moshe? And it says she took Hatof biyado, the drum in her hand. So Rav Avinir makes a very good point. She took the drum in her hand. We're talking about people who 7 days earlier left Egypt without enough time even to bake bread. And yet she took a drum. And not only did she take her drum, all the women took their drums. They had time to pack away their drums and didn't have time to let the dough rise to make bread. They had to eat matzos. What exactly is this teaching us? And they danced b'supim uvim chalos. But why is this important? What does this add really to our understanding of the Shira? Why mention it at all? And then all the mefarshim discuss, what does it mean by ta'an lohem Miriam? She answered. It should have said, Vatomer lohen Miriam. Miriam said to them in the feminine. Not Vata'an Lohem, she answered them as if she's answering the men. And then what did she say? She said exactly what Moshe said. Shir Lashem Ki Go Go Susvara Choram Avayom. That's the beginning, that's the essence of the Shira. So that was the Shira. So what did she do? To ask a more general question, what if the Torah had not mentioned this at all? What would we have been missing? What would have been lacking from the narrative of the story if this was not mentioned at all? So what did Miriam do here that was so important, critical actually, that the Torah had to mention it? Now Rashi says, Rashi explains a number of these areas, but in ways we'll have to ask our own questions. Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyah, Miriam the prophetess took, and you know, Chazal say that we had, as the Gemara Megillah, in Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, we had 48 prophets, men who were prophets, and 7 women who were prophetesses, one of them Miriam. So Rashi says, Hecha Nisnaba, where did she prophesy? Kishahoysa Achos Aaron. So Rashi explains, that's why it says Aaron here. Because she was Aaron's sister. Aaron was the oldest. Then Miriam was born. Kodem Shenolad Moshe. Omra, and before Moshe was born, so you recall from Parsha Shmos, that after Par's decree not to force the Jews to kill every male child, any male child had to be tossed into the river. So Amram, who was a Godel Ador, Mar says in Soto, got up and divorced his wife and directed all men to divorce their wives, because he didn't want to be in a situation whereby they would even indirectly be responsible for the death of Jewish children. So Miriam then approached her father and said that your gzer is worse than Paro's, because Paro lo gazar ela ala zecharim. Paro decreed against the males, but your decree, if no one is married, is against the males and the females. No Jewish children will be born. Paro decreed only lo lamazeh, but your decree is lamazeh and lo lamabo. You'll destroy the Jewish people entirely. So, yeah. Very young.
Because if she was in the middle, Aaron was...
She's 3.
Because when they went to her, he was 83. And
right, she was 3. She's probably 2 years old at the time. Just talking.
2, yeah.
That's what makes it a prophecy. And not just a good gediyah. That's what makes it a prophecy. So...
We have to come to
school. Oh, absolutely. Don't we say every Jewish child's a genius? Until they get to school. No, they're always a genius. Always geniuses. So Kodem Shenolad Moshe, Omora, before Moshe was born, she said, Asida Imi Shetelet Bein, my mother is going to give birth to a son, and that son is going to be the Moshion Shal Yisrael, the Savior of Israel. That was her prophecy. Okay. Dover Acher, another pshat. Why she called Achos Aaron, Lufisha Mosar Nafsho Aleho, Kishinet Staro, Nikres Al Shmo. Later on in the Torah, she leaped to the defense of Aaron's honor when the story in Balozcho, when she spoke the Lashon Hara, and because she suffered saras trying to defend Aaron's honor, so therefore she's Moseres Nefesh for him, she's Nikres Al Shmo, she's called here Achos Aaron. Of course, the question we could ask, that's maybe a story later on, but she's Moseres Nefesh for Moshe. She's the one who stood by when Moshe was put in the basket and sent into the Nile. She stood and watched and waited to see what would be Moshe's fate. And then she intervened with Basparo and told Basparo that he in fact is not only Mialdeho Vrim, which Bisya realized, but also his mother, Yocheved. So she was crucial. She's Moseres Nefesh for Moshe also. So Ramban says actually to give kavod to Aaron. To give kavod to Aaron. That's all Yosher Moshe. But Moshe and Aaron were, the Gemara says, shkulim, they were equals. In a sense, co-leaders, equally important to Klal Yisrael. But Aaron was not mentioned here in the Shir at all. So they give kavod to Aaron. But of course, why here? Now, the question we had before, why did she bring her tov? Tov, Rashi says, Klishol Mina Zemer, it's an instrument. Bisupim v'mcholos. Rashi quotes the Mechilta. Muvtachos hayu tzidkanios shebedor shekadosh baruch hu osel lehem nisim. The righteous women of the generation were convinced, they were confident, that God would perform miracles for them when they left. Votziu tupim mimitzrayim. And so they brought out drums from Egypt for this very purpose. They knew that would happen. The text of the Mechilta is osel lehem nisim ugvuros. They prepared these instruments for the great celebration. It's as if you hire a band, you know, before your child is even engaged. If confident they'll get engaged, there'll be a wedding, you hire a band. That was the bitachon of the tzidkanios of that door. They saw ahead, and so they brought their tupim and micholos. Of course, how do they know? The Nachos Yaakov says that that was her nevuah. That is Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyah. That was her nevuah. She knew that there'd be a great Yeshua in the future, and so she knew to prepare. Others disagree, and in fact, the Shemen Atov, Rabbi Dov Ber Weinberg, Rabbi Salman Weinberg's brother, the Rav in Brooklyn, he writes in his Sefer that that's not nevuah. That's really bitachon. He calls it emunah, but it's really bitachon. Nevuah is a special message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that message is what the infant Miriam conveyed to her father. But this was bitachon. Bitachon in the Havtachas Hashem, that the Jewish people would be saved despite whatever travail in which we find ourselves. So, they had bitachon, and they brought out their tupim u'michalos. What's vatan? So Rashi says, Moshe Omar Shir La Anashim. Moshe said the shir for the men. Hu Omer Vehem Onim Acharov. He said and they responded. So the Gemara, in fact, has a machlokas what exactly it was, their response. So one interpretation is Moshe said, Ashir La Shem Ki Go Go, Sus Varocho Rama Vayom, and they repeated that. And then he said, Ozi Vizim Raska, Vahili Yeshua, and they repeated that. But there's another opinion of the Gemara that says that every response, the refrain, always was Ashir El Hashem Ki Go Go Sus V'Rochva Rama Vayom. So no matter what Moshe said, Markavos Par V'Chelo Yora Vayom U'Mevchar Shalishov Tubu V'Yamsuf, they answered Ashir El Hashem Ki Go Go, which then in the mind of the Gemara stamps that pasuk as the critical pasuk, which is why Miriam sang it here. Now, the Mefarshim also differ what exactly was Miriam's response. Rav Elia Mizrahi, commenting on Rashi, says that she said the entire Shira, the whole Shira, just like Moshe did. Shira Lashem Ki Go Go is just the initial pasuk, but rather than go through the whole thing again, Vatan Lo Hamin, she repeated exactly what Moshe did. The Torah only mentions the key pasuk. The Nachos Yaakov here also disagrees. And he says that she said it, Shira Lashem Ki Go Go, but not for Moshe. That was also her nevuah, that she had the exact same prophetic vision as did Moshe. And so when Moshe said, Oz Yashir Moshe, Oz Shira Lashem Ki Go Go, Sus Rochvo Rama Vayom, she said the same thing, and then she continued as well, Oz Yibazim Rasko. And in fact, he alludes to the idea that she did, I'm sorry, he says openly, explicitly the idea that she did not hear the shira from Moshe. She didn't hear what Moshe was saying, but she heard the song finish, because there was a response going back and forth, and then she said this shira, but exactly the same shira as Moshe did, and that was benevuah as well. The question is, and of course he says that's why she's called Miriam Hanaviyah. It was also part of the Nevuah here. But the question remains, why is this important? And what does she add? What if the Torah had not written these two psukim and said the women had just watched the men? Women had just watched, and let's say they sang along or they played the drums in accompaniment to the men's shira. Why was it so important to have their own shira? It was important. And Miriam, and of course the women here, you see, played a very crucial role. And the Gemara says a number of times that Bizchus Noshim Tzidkanios Shebaosu Ador, or Bizchar Noshim Tzidkanios Baosu Ador, because of the merit of the righteous women of the generation, or the reward of the righteous women of the generation was such and such. The crucial role the women played was really seeing beyond the problems of the present, seeing beyond the troubles that had befallen them, and always maintaining a sense of optimism about the future. So the classic reference to this is the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, Tachas HaTapuach O'Articho, that the men, with based on Amram's logic, had sworn off their wives, and even after taking them back, they didn't want to have children. Because the argument was, why bring children into such a generation? Why give birth to children if they're going to become slaves? What's the point? Why would one do that to a child? But yet the women of the generation saw beyond that, and they saw that there was a different future ahead, and in order to create that future, they couldn't be passive, but rather had to be active. So the Medrash says they would adorn themselves and seduce their husbands in the field under the apple tree. Tachas HaTapuach O'Articho, that's the basis of don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. And that's how they would be able to procreate. And that built the next generation of Jews. This quality, Chazal referred to as a Bino Yisera, that women have, based on the Pasuk in Bereishis, the Vayivet, in the Perek Bez, that Chava was created with the Etzem of Adam, an extra bone. But the reference to Chazal's a Bino Yisera, it's a greater intuition that women have that men don't. Women have, in fact, it's true, they are able to probe deeper into the human psyche than men. That's not to criticize anyone, of course, but women usually make better therapists than men do. And we have very fine therapists who are males as well. And since this is being circulated, I want to make sure people know that. I was reading a book a few weeks ago. Women have a much keener sense of reading body language than men do. It is verified by studies. They're just able to deduce things about people from body language in a much sharper way than men can. This is a Bina Yisera. This is an intuition and an ability to look beneath the surface, to probe beneath the superficiality of events of personalities and see something deeper. See something which is not obvious. And that really is critical, was critical, in such a difficult time as the Shibud Mitzrayim, the bondage of Egypt. Because it's very easy for the men, was easy for the men, to become despondent. Because they were there for a couple centuries already, and there was seemingly no future. They were stuck. Vayanchu b'nei Yisrael min avodo, they groaned, but they had no ability to overcome the mighty power of the Egyptian Empire. They had no way out. And in that environment, in that depressing environment of a totalitarian dictatorship, a brutal tyranny that brooked no escape, that somehow the women were able to not only lift the spirits of the men, but also see beyond those immediate troubles and understand that there's a brighter future ahead. It's that quality that enabled them to carry with them into the Midbar the tupim, the drums. Rav Avinir says that's why they had drums and timbrels, and some say tambourines as well, even if they didn't have bread. Because that was the power of emunah. That was the power of the bitachon. Their jewelry also, but they took with them from Egypt. They didn't go shopping the day before, but they took with them. That's right. That's right. That's correct. That's correct. But a lot of that jewelry they actually got on Yam Suf. That was the spoil. Bizas Hayom. The spoils of the spoils of Yamsuf, because the Egyptians had taken all their valuables with them into battle. That makes sense when the men are singing, right? Women are picking up the jewels. They gave it to the Mishkan. That's true. Well, that's a few weeks away. We'll get back to that. Now, that power to see beyond the moment, to recognize that there'll be something needed for the spirit of Klal Yisrael, more than dough and more than bread, so that was a unique characteristic of the women. And that, in fact, was a celebration of the joys of the Geula. Now, you'll notice that the men, and this is a pattern throughout the stay in the Midbar, were always getting bogged down at the first sign of any tzara. And he really, it's no different here. As soon as they heard Paro coming, they freaked out. There's no other way to say it. They heard Paro went back, and right away, the men said, it is in Perek Yudalid, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yud, Ufaro Hikriv. Everything was hunky-dory until they heard the Egyptians. Everything was good for 6 days. Vayisu v'nei Yisrael es'eneihem, v'nei Mitzrayim nasei achareihem, v'yirumod, v'yitzaku v'nei Yisrael Hashem. They became fearful, terrified immediately. And they cried out to God. V'yimru Moshe, they cried out to God and they attacked Moshe. Hamibli.
Why did they say that going back?
With b'nei Yisrael.
Oh, b'nei.
Yeah. V'yimru, they said to Moshe, Hamibli en kvarim b'mitzrayim, l'kachton al musba midbar, aren't there enough graves in Egypt? Also, sarcasm is a male trait, not a female trait. Trust me. This is the first example of Jewish sarcasm in the Torah. Rather than say to Moshe, you're going to get us all killed, they said, what is there, aren't enough graves in Egypt? That's why you had to take us here. Mazos asisolanu, l'tzionu b'mitzrayim. What is this that you've done to us to take us from Egypt? This is what we told you. Chadal mimenu v'navdos Mitzrayim. In an instant they turn. They told Moshe we'd rather be in Egypt. On the contrary, they're screaming for decades to get out of Egypt. No. Ki tov lono avodos Mitzrayim musenu b'midbar. Better to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. That was their complaint, the men right away, and afterwards the same things, no water, no bread, no food, the same complaint. I don't know if you have a case in the Torah where you find the women complaining. Yeah, have you had it in the Torah? Right, well, they made up for it afterwards, but the fact is, I don't see you think if there's a complaint about food, bread, lodging, it's a male as well as a female complaint. No, that's because of bitachon. That tremendous sense of bitachon in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the way would be clear. That whatever would happen, would happen. And that's why, like you said, like someone said, Chani said, not only did they give the jewelry to the Mishkan, but when the men came around to build the Egel, they didn't give. They didn't lose faith when Moshe didn't come back right away. The men lost faith. So they refused to participate in the building of the Egel. In fact, I saw one of Mepharshim, I forget who it was, says that they reasoned, well, Moshe's gone, but we have another Navi, Miriam. So Miriam will take us to Eretz Yisrael if Moshe's dead. So they didn't lose faith at all. It's the men who kept losing faith. And that's why you see they saw, or Miriam saw, and she encouraged the other women, that there is an end, that the Gulas Mitzrayim is one stage, there's Gulas Hayom, and then it continues as well. And you'll notice that in the high points of Jewish life in the wilderness, the women are fully involved, like Maimon Har Sinai, Kos Samai Leves Yaakov, Eilu HaNashim, V'Sagei Levnei Yisrael, Eilu HaNashim. In Maimon Har Sinai, they're both engaged. But when it comes to the tzaros in the Midbar, like the Egel, the Meraglim, or Korach, they're not involved. On the contrary, in almost every case, not the Meraglim, they weren't involved. They tried to stop the men. The Egel, they tried to stop the men. Korach, except his wife, Yedon Ben Peles' wife, stopped him. they're always brave because they always see beyond whatever tsara exists in the moment. They're able to put it, things will be better. And that's a trait that really is a uniquely feminine trait. Men are sometimes overwhelmed by the phenomena of the moment and can't see beyond it. But women have a broader view of history and of Jewish destiny, and are able to see beyond. See, what exactly is a shira? What is a song? A shira, Chazal tell us, a shira is a glimpse of reality from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is a very unique situation for a person to find himself in. I mean, we sing songs, but those songs are not shiras. Chazal tell us that there are 10 shiras in Tanakh. This is one of them, the Shira Sayyam. A shira is a song that enables us to view the world through the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which really is a Mara Nevuah. That's Oz Yosher Moshe Uvnei Yisrael Shira Zos Lashem Vayomer Lemor. They sing to God because now they saw the fulfillment. They really saw the entirety of God's plan unfold before them. And as a result, it brought them to a level of exaltation that they had never had before. That really was the joy of the soul. Not just Yitzias Mitzrayim, but when they saw Mitzrayim Meis Al Sfas Hayom, and they saw exactly what God had said to them had come true, Vayaminu Bashem Uv Moshe Avdo, then they sang the Shira following Moshe, because they all had that Mare HaNevuah. The women took it to a higher level as well. They had a Shira, but they had a Shira with Zemer, with a musical instrument. The men didn't have musical instruments. Rav Aviner says instruments appeal to the emotions as well. The shira is just an intellectual act. You sing something, it's mara hanavuah. But to engage fully the human personality, that's zemer too. It's interesting, there's machlokas of the Gemara, where the ikra shira is bepeh ubekli, the essence of song in the Beis HaMikdash. Was it verbal, just with a mouth, the Levium sang? Or was the essence of the Shira with a kli, that the Levium played instruments as well? They did both. But the question is, what's more important? A kli, and this we know, there's a difference between a cappella music, just people singing, and someone singing together with musical accompaniment, with an orchestra. The orchestra is more powerful. It adds sensations that you can't have otherwise. The women really then had a deeper experience of the Shira because they brought out with them these musical instruments. And Mecholos, dancing, really took it to a higher level as well. The men didn't dance. The women danced. What's dance? So Rabbi Avinu has a very interesting pshat. He said, a dance is like a kfitzah l'shamayim. It's like you get together in a circle, and it's like you're leaping to the heavens. You're leaving earth. He calls it hitromimut me'alpnei karka, elevating yourselves from above the ground. It's a sign that you're not limited to the earth, but rather you're reaching for something greater, something higher than that. And a circle really is a group that is dedicated to a common purpose, with complete equality of all the participants. It's a beautiful pshat. I think a Hasidic Rebbe said it. I forget who again. That's why we dance in a circle at a wedding. In a circle, firstly, everyone is equidistant from the center. So no person is closer to the center than anyone else. And secondly, a circle it always retains its shape, no matter how many people you add to it. It still remains a circle. Other configurations will lose their shape. But a circle, you just expand the circle. That is hisaromumus me'alakarka, me'alpenakarka. You're really leaving, you're elevating yourself. You're not just situated on the ground, but rather together you're achieving a higher spiritual status. That was the greatness of what Miriam did. Bisupim uvim chalos. With drums, timbrels, maybe tambourines too, and with dancing as well, taking that Mara HaNevuah and creating an experience which would be indelible for the women who were participating. Now, what was the song? Because that was the key. The essence of the Shira, Shir V'atan Lahem Miriam, Shir Lashem Kigogo Susvarochvo Ramavayom. What's Kigogo? Kigogo, it sounds repetitive. Kigogo, he's great and great. Proud and proud. Or we say exceedingly great. But why is that different than Ashir Lashem Kigogo? He's great. I mean, greater than great. Great is great. Gogo, Rashi says earlier, it means that his greatness is beyond words. We sing to God, but it's a feeble song, because we can't really articulate the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Gogo, his greatness is really beyond words. Sus v'rochvo ramo v'yom. The horse and its rider were thrown into the sea. Now look, that would seem to us, at least, to be a detail of what happened. The fact that the horse and its rider thrown into the sea. So the Medrash says, if it was a reference to Kriyas Yamsuv, it would say, Susehem Virochvehem Ramavayom, that God threw into the sea the horses and the riders, plural, not singular, Sus Virochvo Ramavayom. So what's Sus Virochvo Ramavayom? So the Medrash says, God took the Tsar of Egypt, the minister of Egypt, meaning, so on one level it means the Maluch that's assigned to Egypt, but it really means the God of Egypt. God took the ideology of Mitzrayim, which was the most powerful ideology of the time, the one that dominated the world and permeated every culture and destroyed it. In fact, it was the ideology that all nations looked up to, and even Klal Yisrael was fearful of. You know, man has a tendency to be a front runner, and you see the nation that's powerful, you're drawn to that culture because it seems dominant. So they were Egyptians, and they saw the most powerful empire and culture in the world, and now they saw it destroyed before them. It's not talking in the instant sense to the horse and the rider being thrown into the sea, the chariot, and as part of the victory. That's Markavos Parvichaloyar Avayam. It's a different point. Sus v'rochvo means they saw Egypt destroyed. They saw the Tsar, the pride of Egypt, the God of Egypt, the ideology of Egypt. That was drowned. What's the idea then of the Shiro? Give us a perspective, granted, of Mido Keneged Mido, and Ashkoch HaProtis, and of the Godless Hashem. All that is true, but there's really one idea of the Shira, the most powerful idea of the Shira. The central theme of the Shira is of God's greatness, and our obligation to proclaim God's greatness and God's truth to the world. That's Ashir El Hashem Ki Gogo Sus V'rochvo Ramavayom. Ashir El Hashem, I'll sing to God Ki Gogo, because His greatness is beyond words. Who am I singing to? Each other? No, Ashira, I'm singing the future. I'm singing to everyone who will listen. Ki Gogo. That's why we say the Shir every day, by the way. It's an ancient minig in Klal Yisrael. Every day in the davening, right before Yishtabach, we say the Shira. Strange, if you think about it, very bizarre, because we say at the end of Yishtabach, no, it's actually on Shabbos, we say Makalos, but all Psukim de Zimra is Shiros Mishbachos, David ben Yishai, Avdecha Mishirecha. The whole Psukim de Zimra are the songs and praise of David. It's all Tehillah. It's not all Tehillah. It's Shiras Hayom also. So how do we say that? The Rambam, in fact, if you look at Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam has the Shira after Yishtabach, because Pesukei Zimra Shiras V'Tishbachos David Ben Yishai. But we insert the Shiras Hayom in Pesukei Zimra, notwithstanding that it's not Shiras David. Why? That's the essential idea of Pesukei Zimra. Ashira Lashem Ki Go Go Sus V'Rochu Ramavayom. I'll sing God's praises to everyone who will listen. His greatness is beyond words. And what exactly am I saying? Sus v'rochvo ramavayom. There is only one truth. There is only one ideology. and that is the ideology of the Borei Olam that he entrusted to us. Now in this, Miriam was a crucial figure. That's Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyah. Miriam was a crucial figure because the whole process of Geula started with her. That's what Rashi says. Hechon nis'abo kishehoisacho saro. Kodem shenolad Moshe. Before Moshe was born, when we were at the nadir of our existence in Egypt, that's when young Miriam stepped into the fray and said to her father, who's the Gadol Hador, Abba, lo zo haderech. This is not the way. So that was a nevuah asido imi shetelet bein, shemoshias Yisrael. The Moshiach is going to come from us. So now you're just delaying the Geula. So the whole process of Geula started with her, and therefore she prophesied her mother would have this child. She guarded Moshe when he was sent into the Nile. She nurtured the entire Ta'alich HaGeula, the entire redemptive process. And it was really that faith that enabled the men to remain hopeful and courageous. So in fact, in those years, many long years when Moshe was gone, we spoke about it today, Parsha Shmos, many long years Moshe was gone, almost 65 years, more than that, that he was gone, that somehow Miriam had to keep alive the flame of her prophecy and the hopes of the generation, despite the harshness of the labor. And when Moshe returned and things got worse, that was also Miriam's role, to elevate people's spirits and keep them focused on the future. That really is what inspired the entire generation. When Miriam takes her tof and she sings her song, she really completes the circle. And now the Torah comes full circle. From Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, Vaykachas Bas Levi, which precipitated the process of Geula, three Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Gula Sayom Kriyas Yamsuf, and now Miriam stands there and sings the same Shira as Moshe, so the Torah comes full circle, because the whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim is now at an end, and the Tachlis HaGeula, the whole purpose of the Geula, has now been fulfilled, or at least as they begin their ascent to Sinai. Rav Hirsch says that she's called Achos Aaron, because what Aaron did for the men, being Moshe's intermediary, Miriam did for the women. They had the same role, just to different target audiences. So therefore, in expressing the meaning of the Geula through the Shira, women who experience the Geula the same way that men did, that's why women are Chayavos and Dal Kosos, the four cups of wine Seder night. In expressing the meaning of the Geula through the Shira, women have the exact same obligation as men do, because they're also obligated to proclaim to the world Ashira Lashem Ki Gogo Sus Varoch Varam Avayo. That basic theme of the Shira, that is something that women in their own way take to the world as well, when they represent the Torah and they represent Jewish life. And that idea is critical to the whole understanding of the Geula and the unfolding of the process of Geula. Without Shiras Miriam, without a reference to Shiras Miriam, then part of the story is missing. A crucial component. There's a gap, really, in the foundation of the Am Hashem. If we would walk away from Geulas Mitzrayim and think to ourselves that the essential components of Geulas Mitzrayim are that the men are redeemed, they should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then there's something lacking in our understanding of the Geula. But see, it's not so. Without the Noshim Sidkanios, without their bitachon, that the Geula would come, the men would not have survived. And without the faith that they convey, they transmit midor l'dor to their families, from generation to generation, so Klal Yisrael couldn't survive either. With Shiras Miriam, then each group each constituent element of Klal Yisrael is now designated as servants of Hashem, ready to receive the Torah, and ready to accept the mantle of the Am HaNivchar, of the chosen people of Mamlechas Kohen and V'Goy Kadosh. What we see is just something that's appended to the Shira Sayom is not an appendage. On the contrary, it's an essential qualification of what the nature of the Shira was. Without Shiras Miriam, and Shiras Miriam by definition had to involve Tupim u'Mecholos and had to be Vatan Lohem. See, Vatan Lohem instead of Vatom would mean something new. Vatan Lohem means no. The role in being Nigolim is exactly the same. When we say Am Gula Hashem, Am Gula Hashem is men and women. It's not different. It's not separate. What part of the Gula Hashem? There's no difference. In, you can't say only one part of the nation is Nigal and the other part is not. Because then there's no Gula. No. Vatan Lohem is a response. She answered them. She answered them, this is the definition of Gula. The men are Nigal, the women are Nigal, the shir is the same, the way we sing is different, we sing separately, but the way we sing is different, b'supim v'cholos, makes a deeper lasting impression, but the nature of the mission, the assignment, the designation of Klal Yisrael, that's going to be the same. It has to be identical, but that's part of Mamlechas Kohen v'Goy Kadosh. Once we have that idea, then we can march to Sinai, Kosamar Leves Yaakov, the Sagei Levnei Yisrael, then the men and women can both stand at Sinai and both receive the Torah and both assume the rightful position as parts of the Am Hashem. Okay. All right, we'll stop here. Thank you.